Welcome back to Issues and Ideas on KCBX. I'm Tyler Pratt. It's often said that if we don't know our history, we don't know who we are or where we're going. All of us need to know a lot more about local history. In a sense, our history is who we are. Brian Reynolds recently sat down with local historian Joe Caratanuti for a discussion about historical subjects dear to the hearts of residents on the Central Coast, the missions, the city of San Luis Obispo, public libraries, and more.
So wonderful to have you here. We were friends and colleagues for years when I was county library director. I always enjoyed talking with you and seeing your latest articles about history and understanding some of the challenges of being a historian, and which are many. We're going to talk about some of those today. Could you tell us a little bit about sort of where you came from and, you know, your career and how you came up to move to the Central Coast and become one of our preeminent historians?
Well, I retired after 30 years in public education, and I was always interested in missions and mission history, and my daughters went to Cal Poly, and it was a natural move for us to the Central Coast. And from there, I started researching the mission and wrote my first booklet on the Mission San Luis. And from there to the city history, and then from that to the library history and so forth.
Well, just a tidbit about the missions. There's 21 of them in California, correct?
Yes.
And I believe they're all functioning in some fashion?
No. Some of them are strictly historical sites.
So like museums.
And that's right. Many of them are not in populated areas, or they're very little left of the original mission.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's really no original mission. What we have today are years and years of renovation and redecoration and so forth.
I guess I was reading once where adobe is a wonderful building material.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't do well in the rain over the years unless you whitewash it or treat it somehow.
Absolutely. On the other hand, Mission San Juan Capistrano was originally built with rock. And when the earthquake came, that collapsed.
Huh.
So adobe was the only material really the missionaries had. And it's true, it needed to be preserved with whitewash.
Yeah. Now, I could be wrong, but I think this is accurate, that when we were part of Mexico and Spain, we had another name here. We were Alta California, Upper California,
mm-hmm.
and Baja was Baja or Lower.
Right.
And there was a string of missions as well in Baja California, maybe 40, I'm not sure, but many of them. Is that correct?
Yes, the missions in Baja California were all founded by Jesuits. And actually, Junipero Serra, who founded our mission in San Luis, actually founded his first mission in Baja.
Interesting.
And then he moved to San Diego.
I've heard there's a bit of a controversy. Are these buildings, some museums, some churches, are they missions anymore, or are they churches? I would guess if they are active in terms of worship, they're more of a church than a mission.
Yes, yes. They were all meant to become a part of a pueblo. The Spanish were not interested in having an unpopulated area. The objective, especially in Alta California, was to create pueblos. And then the mission would be the community church, if you say.
Yeah, more or less the center of town.
Yes.
Is there any truth to the allegation that in terms of the treatment or mistreatment of Native Americans, that the priests, the religious folk, often found themselves on the side of the natives to take care of them and protect them from harm or slave labor, that kind of thing?
Well, absolutely. The history differs with each mission, with each missionary, with each location. Because we have one state doesn't mean that the natives that were here thought of themselves as one unit. Different tribes, different languages, lack of communication between them. So the padres quite often were confronted with not being able to communicate, and Sarah, who is a very well-educated, highly educated man, that was his most frustrating experience, trying to communicate with the natives when he was here, once they were baptized.
Hmm. Yeah, I read somewhere, I think this is accurate, that the Romance languages, just take that which came down from Latin, the countries nearby Italy and ancient Rome, had similar languages, French and German, sorry, French, Portuguese, Italian. But in many areas of the United States, you had Indian languages that were far different from each other. They might be cheek by jowl, but it might be this like Italian and Chinese. They were not linguistically connected.
Correct, correct. And so and quite often this would be a problem with a mission where you would have different groups eventually joining a mission community. And one of the myths out there by those who don't read their history or know it very well is they weren't forced to do this.
Were
not forced
we're not.
To join. But when they did join, then the language, not only between the Spanish-speaking padres and soldiers, but also between the languages of the natives themselves. So this is the linguistic challenges are immense in mission history.
Interesting. And I'm assuming there's no written record in any of the Indian languages.
No, what's most interesting is the first written language, native language, is Franciscan. They would listen to the natives speaking and attempt to transcribe the sound into the Spanish language. And so they for the catechisms, and they've left quite a record of languages for the individual tribes.
Wow, I had no idea.
That's the first written language that I know of.
Speaking of that, I seem to remember another thing. All these ideas are coming up that at UC Santa Barbara, there's a big focus on Native American history and early California history. Is that accurate?
Oh, yes. The archives are there.
Right.
Santa Barbara has some magnificent archives. It was a Franciscan novitiate, if you wanted, the training. So they have an enormous collection of original documents.
Probably artifacts and so forth. Let's zero in a little bit on our local mission and the local native, the Chumash. Was there anything unique about our mission, made it stand out from the others?
Well, I think it was unique in that it was very peaceful. The natives here actually supported, we don't have time to go into the founding, but on September 1st, 1772, when Sarah was here to found the mission, he left the next day, and he left one padre, which was most unusual, and about five soldiers and a couple of Baja natives. And when I talk about this era, I said, and enough supplies to fill the back of an SUV. So the natives here were very supportive of the missionaries that were left. There were no farming. There's no store. You either grew it to eat it, or you found it and hunted it or picked it off a tree.
Now, the main native tribe here was the Chumash.
Chumash, yes.
I've heard that's not a real name. It, like, means shell people, whatever their real name was, a different name, maybe secret.
Sarah called them Tixlini, T-I-X-L-I-N-I. I'm not I don't do a lot of native history, but I do know that the studies of the language, they went from approximately today's Malibu north to the Great. And so that was a predominant area. And they found them to be very peaceful people by and far.
I was reading, I was a library director up in Northern California, and I was Siskiyou County for many years, and I was reading a history of some of the local tribes up there, the Kurucs and the Wintus and the Hoopas, and they were kind of fierce, and they were very careful not to share things they had. They allegedly wouldn't even get married because they would have to share their stuff.
Yes.
And that reminded the European explorers of the Plains tribes, who are also very fierce. And the allegation is that the Indian tribes are more fierce when the resources are scarce. Like the buffalo were always on the move, or water holes were intermittent. Whereas here, they say in Central California, it's rather abundant, deer and fish and acorns.
Could be. It certainly is possible. I've written a series called California 1814, And at that time, there was a questionnaire from Spain. And each of the padres at each of the missions was required to answer these 35 or so questions. And it's quite a diverse series of answers. They were compiled and never sent back. So at Santa Barbara, the original is there, and they've been translated.
Were they meant to be sent back?
Yes, they were sent back. But remember, 1814 is in the middle of the Mexican Revolution. Spain has not sent ships to the missions. This is a whole nother story. And so the authorities in Spain, from what I'm gathering, wanted to know what was happening in the mission settlements in California. And this is a fascinating insight into the different groups at the different missions. Many of them have since disappeared.
Joe, let's shift our discussion to some of your efforts for other entities of historical value in the the city, the county libraries, the city library of San Luis Obispo.
Yes.
Can we talk about that?
Well, the city library is just marvelous. It was the first library in the county. It started in 1894 as a subscription library, and you paid a fee. They had books. Usually the books were donated. And 3 years later, it became a city responsibility. So in 1897, the San Luis Obispo City Library was founded. And it lasts until the end of 1972. And then it merged and became a branch of the county library. So we're in the situation where the city, the oldest library, became the newest branch of the county system.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Now, if my memory serves, there were two independent city libraries during that era, Paso Robles and San Luis Obispo, and they remained independent till this day.
Paso Robles has. Paso Robles never joined the county system. Both have the magnificent buildings designed by the same man about the same time and through the generosity of Andrew Carnegie, which is another whole story. And so both again, are community efforts. They were considered the a pillar of progress, that if you were going to have a progressive community, you had to have a library, and I believe to this day. Communities have civil government, and civil government runs the laws, the regulations, paving the streets, and on and on and on. But a library represents, to me, a whole different aspect of the human experience.
Of course.
And whether the library is in a building or in a home or it's on a tablet, wherever the library happens to be, there's a world there worth exploring.
Do you think libraries and history are linked as we sort of wind up our discussion? I mean, in some sense, there are two entities meant for the public that house history, museums and libraries, both important. What makes a library stand out?
Well, you know, I start my history of the city of, I wrote a history of the city of San Luis Obispo Library. And I started out, to paraphrase, that one of my earliest memories was the image of the burning of the library at Alexandria. Libraries are threats to tyrants. Libraries are threats to those who want to think one way and one way only. And governments, quite frankly, can force that through laws. But libraries are, in their own way, subversive activities.
We used to joke about this mythical library that you went out the door and the sign would say, you know, come back soon. If we didn't offend you, please go to the desk and we'll work on it.
Yes, yes. But I would certainly encourage folks to go to the library. We have a wonderful calendar, the limited edition, available for free. And it has many images that are in the calendar for the first time. They're in the library archives that I've worked on for 10, 15 years now, organizing a great deal of information.
Awesome. What was one final thought you'd like to leave with our audience?
I'd like to leave the thought that one is the Friends of the Library are having their annual luncheon May 2nd at the Madonna Inn, and I will be continuing on with the story there. I hope you can attend. We are dedicating the head marker for Margaret Milne on April 27th from 11 to 11:30 at the San Luis Cemetery.
Awesome. One final thing, you do have a website, joefromslo.com, providing the only sequential history of the community to the 1920s.
Correct.
Thank you so much, Joe. This has been Brian Reynolds for Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. Today we were joined by Joe Caratanuti, former educator and wonderful local historian. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Joe Caratanuti in conversation with Brian Reynolds talking about the history of the missions and libraries here on the Central Coast. You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX.